Hey, y'all. My name is Jonda, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from a sex and pornography addiction, a lack of self-worth, control, and finding my identity and value in relationships and accomplishments. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the story that you're writing in my life. Thank you for taking me out of the pit and redeeming me good as new. I ask that you help me to get out of the way so that your name can be glorified. I ask for open hearts and open ears to hear your word and your truth tonight so that someone out here can have hope and that they can be brought into the light out of the darkness. Thank you for what you continue to do in me and through me and through this body. It's in your precious son's name we pray. Amen. I grew up going through all the motions to appear to be a good Christian. Our family went to church just enough to know the right answers if engaged in a conversation, but not enough for us to truly be known. We looked like a Christian family. However, behind closed doors, we were anything but that. My parents' relationship was riddled with explosive anger, arguments, and verbal abuse. What we presented to the world always had to be wrapped up in a nice bow for those on the outside. From a young age, this taught me that a facade of having it all together was extremely important. I was easygoing, yet their model set the tone for learning to lie and about what I was really experiencing, putting that in front of the public just being an ideal daughter or ideal student. This led to a skewed perception of the importance of being accepted by others, as well as a skewed view on how to be accepted by God. Life at home was a balance of staying out of the line of fire when my parents had an explosive blowout or navigating my place as the youngest of four siblings that were all going through their own phases. I learned to be self-reliant during this time. The idea of anyone, let alone God, knowing the real me was unthinkable. My parents' tension due to infidelity and a lack of good communication made peace or trust impossible. I swore that my life would never be as screwed up as theirs because I would do things my way and by my rules. Famous last words. In middle school, I was first exposed to explicit sexual imagery and began experimenting with marijuana and pills and occasionally drinking with friends. By high school, my drug use was daily, only now with the dangerous introduction of cocaine. In my suburb, recreational drugs seemed almost normal, and in my arrogance, I thought, I can handle this, and no one would even know if I was high or not. And for the most part, this proved to be true at home. My parents were so consumed with their volatile marriage and my siblings' behavior problems that I seemed to fly under the radar. My parents would brag that I was the good child, maintaining good grades, seemingly obedient, and admired by others, only reaffirming the idea that if my outer image was praised, no one really cared about the destruction going on inside. Coupled this with the desire to feel loved and valued in my own dysfunctional dating relationships, and it was clear I was desperately searching for acceptance and a way to numb what was going on and escape. During this time, God was this mystical, silent man in the sky to me. In my mind, he had more pressing things to deal with in the world and most certainly didn't have time for me. Although I knew of God in a very basic and general, broad perspective, no one shared with me what the good news of the gospel was or how to understand God's grace. I didn't understand the difference between knowledge of God and a relationship with him. I knew and often said, Jesus loves us, he died on the cross for everyone, but I didn't believe that he died for me, nor did I understand the severity of what his sacrifice actually meant. So I continued to indulge in all the world had to offer with a growing thirst that never seemed to be quenched. Neither alcohol and drug use nor impure physical dating relationships brought me peace. At the age of 18, after a night of heavy drinking, I was sexually assaulted by a guy I had a crush on from a neighboring high school. The emotional devastation this caused was unparalleled. It drastically changed my easygoing personality, my view of God, and it further impacted how I interacted with men, the value I placed on relationships, and where I sought my identity and comfort. I turned to even more excessive partying with drugs and alcohol to numb the pain and pretend nothing ever happened. I did not believe I was worthy of anyone's love. Therefore, I lowered my standards of what I would accept in relationships. I was convinced that I had deserved what happened to me. And even though God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone could have everlasting life, that clearly didn't apply to me. I felt that I was being punished for the bad things that I had done in the past. The shame and guilt was unbearable. In college, I fell into a deep depression, suicidal at my inability to cope. I couldn't handle the pain. I was sitting in my apartment contemplating what it would take to kill myself so I wouldn't have to be here and suffer anymore. The only thing my mind could go to was trying to find something or someone that could cancel out the bad, replace it with good, and any chemical or physical high I could obtain that would erase the memory and the pain. I believe that if someone thought I was good enough, beautiful enough, smart enough, that it would somehow carry over into every facet of life, making everything good as new. With this skewed view, I became even more intent on seeking out relationships to validate the love and acceptance my heart ached for, and seeking identity based upon others' view of me and how they treated me. These relationships were downright toxic, marked by verbal and physical abuse, impurity, manipulation, and infidelity. I believed, as with my sexual assault, that I caused these things to happen. This fueled a growing lack of self-worth, a thirst to be loved, and grew my addiction to pornography as it offered control, stability, and a high in euphoria that almost felt the same as my drug addiction. I had years of sobriety, only to trade one addiction for another, still trying to fill the void through sexual intimacy, pornography, or being in control. I thought that having the perfect relationship, career, or image would fulfill all my hopes and dreams, even though achieving them still seemed so elusive, only leading me further into my sex and pornography addictions, which were much more easily concealed. I could isolate, make excuses, and keep that part of my life hidden from even my closest friends. Each failed relationship would throw me into a deeper pattern of addiction and physical relationships with men. I always assumed that I just needed to try harder, or even if I accomplished more accolades at work, it would be impressive enough to win both man and God's love and approval. Every accomplishment I gained, I thought at least would gain me some brownie points with God, but somehow I never seemed to be strong enough to let that one last time truly be the last time. I fooled myself into thinking that I alone had conquered my drug addiction. Now that I was sober from chemical substance, if I just tried harder, I alone could also conquer my sex and pornography addictions. Because, of course, we as humans have a proven track record of success when we go it alone. Not. I was headed down a dangerous path when I came to a moment of utter despair. I knew that it was time to try something new. I tried going to different churches than the one that I grew up in, which would fill me up on Sunday, but I would feel empty the rest of the week and in search of what would satisfy me next. My hopes were that heading in a different direction would be just what I needed. Then, almost 2 years ago, a friend invited me to the porch, Watermark's Young Adult Ministry. I had no idea what it was and dodged the invite for probably a solid month. Immediately when I came in, I was blown away at the size of this church and the number of attendees, not to mention how open and honest the teaching pastor was about his own sin and brokenness and God's story of grace in his life. There was definitely something different about the people here. After a couple of Tuesdays, my friend suggested I check out Regeneration. The minute I heard recovery, my response was, "Thanks, but no thanks, bro." My old "I can handle it" mentality kicked in. However, given my relapse during that time, I clearly didn't have everything under control. I remember saying, "I've been a part of the whole intervention thing, and another friend recommended another recovery program, but I just didn't feel that I was at that point. I was still thinking I could go it alone if I just tried a little harder." The night that I hit the last rock bottom pit of despair, a porch volunteer prayed with me as I cried the entire time and also suggested that I check out Regeneration. I remember uttering out, "Touché, Lord. Touché. Clearly you've been trying to get me here, so I guess I'll finally give it a shot." It feels like yesterday when I first walked through these doors on a Monday night. I remember not being able to look anyone in the eye for the fear that they would see my sin and unworthiness. I was on the verge of tears the entire time the steps and the foundation verses were being repeated. I have to admit that initially I thought it was weird and slightly cultish that people here were always smiling even through their pain. I didn't understand it, yet I was intrigued and hopeful that one day I too could have that goofy grin. Groundwork provided a foundational base where I began to see that I was powerless over all of my sin struggles. It gave me opportunities to be honest about my sin and receive encouragement from other ladies in my Groundwork group. I eagerly awaited that coveted email everyone spoke of, letting you know that you were in a step group. I was overjoyed when I got my email, and although I couldn't quite put my finger on it, I knew that big things were going to happen here. It was through my step group that I experienced the first glimpses of community and having believers speak truth into my life and be there for support. It also uncovered a lot of false beliefs about God, that I had to earn his love, false. That my identity was in others, false. That I couldn't trust God and therefore had to do things on my own and alone, extremely false. Even in the darkest days of my addiction, I'd felt God tugging at my heart. However, now he started to move the barriers around my heart so that I could know where my value came from. Numbers 6, 24 through 26 brings me so much joy as a steady reminder of the peace he provides. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. It was somewhere around step 4 and 5, inventory and confess, both of which I dreaded from the moment I started, that things finally clicked. My heart caught up with my head, and I knew that all I had to do to be forgiven, loved, and accepted was to accept God's gift of grace. Not by my works or anything that I could say, just simply believing and receiving. Until then, my efforts had been half in and half out, yet I couldn't figure out why my attempts never stuck. But now I understood that it wasn't up to me. It was up to God. He started transforming my heart so that he could capture it fully. I no longer needed physical intimacy in a relationship or the high of pornography or drugs to feel loved and valued. I didn't have to rely on my accomplishments, what others thought, or my ability to control or have joy or security. For the first time, I had a peace that truly transcended all understanding, even in the midst of my storms, because I knew his truth and had faith in the one who is and always will be in control. For the first time, I was walking in the light, completely known and okay with being known. I've been freed from the bondage of drug, sex, and pornography addictions. Those desires have been wiped from my heart. God provided a way out when there didn't seem to be one. He used the regeneration ministry and this church as a whole to woo me to him, which is what I had been longing for all along, never realizing he was always waiting for me to take his hand. He showed me that living in biblical community, what it looks like, and blessed me with 6 godly and magnificent women to walk through life with. They accepted me right where I was and have linked arms as I continue to grow in Christ, loving, encouraging, admonishing, and spurring me on along the way. Community was an amazing catalyst coupled with the steps of regeneration that God used to kickstart my heart so that the work that he created in me would come to fruition. And as he's opened up numerous opportunities to serve in ways that I couldn't imagine, it's truly been a blessing. Through Regen, God has turned my trials into his glorious triumphs. He has used my mess to send out countless messages to others of redemption, restoration, and grace. Through regeneration and the faithful individuals God has called to lead and walk alongside me through this journey, I finally know the truth of God's word and understand his amazing grace. Through my closed group, community, friends that I serve with, and the work that God is doing in this ministry, I learned how to walk with my Father, how to abide in his word daily through each step as they build on one another. I was able to accept God's gift of grace, his love, and his forgiveness through the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus dying on the cross for me. It would be a misrepresentation for me to tell you that I'm now magically fixed and never struggle, because that's simply not true. Though I still sin and fall short daily, the tools, resources, and fellowship of leaders and community has equipped me to know how to trust God, surrender to his will, and when I do sin, promptly confess, repent, and make amends if needed. My past sins no longer define me, nor do they have power over me. I can now rest in knowing that through Jesus, I am made new, washed clean, and an adopted daughter and an heir to my Father's throne. I now believe that I am wonderfully made in the image of my Papa and that he has called me by name. I can relax and turn everything over to him because I know that God's plan for my life reigns supreme. I rejoice that I can trust his plans because he has great things in store for me. Just as Jeremiah 29:11-13 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Words cannot adequately describe how thankful I am for the confidence that all of God's words is true, and because Jesus died on the cross and rose again, I will have everlasting life with him. God definitely showed up and showed out in a major way by using his faithful servants in this ministry to touch so many hearts and lives that he continues to chase after. I am beyond thankful for those who so selflessly gave their time and effort to allow God to use them for his kingdom through this ministry. Jesus has radically changed my life. God continues to work. He continues the work that he started in me. And I know that I won't be the picture of perfection this side of heaven, but only once I meet my Papa face to face. Until that time, God continues to stir my affections towards him and serving others, being a light to those walking in the dark, just as there were others that were lights for me when I was walking in the dark world. For that reason, and so many others, I consider it an absolute honor that I too can walk through this process with a group of ladies that are seeking healing, redemption, and restoration biblically through this Christ-centered program. They bless and encourage me in far more ways than they realize, and it fills my heart with joy to see their transformation and what God continues to do in their lives. If this is your first time here tonight, welcome. We are so happy that you are here. You may feel weird or on the verge of tears as I did my first night, but you're in a safe place, and God loves you beyond anything that you could comprehend. It's no mistake that he's led you through these doors tonight. He has a plan for you, one of hope and a future. The freedom, healing, and restoration available to all is available to you as long as you take his hand that he extends freely and gives his grace to you. Cost him nothing. It cost us nothing, but it cost him everything. My life today is unrecognizable from what it was when I first walked through those doors. It was hard and not always fun going through this program, but it has been the most life-changing and life-giving experience I've ever known. My thirst has finally been quenched, because I now live in the faith of Jesus. Galatians 2:20 reminds me that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I give you the guarantee that if God can save a selfish, broken, and sinful wretch like me, he can do the same for you. He doesn't just want your words or your works. He wants your whole heart. I'm proud to proclaim that I am a chosen follower of Christ, ready to jump all in with letting God take over my heart and my life as I link arms with others on their way to discovering all the amazing gifts he has in store. Thank you so much for letting me share.